Before we kick off our podcast today, who do we have on the phone?
Hey, Miguel and Holly, how are you?
Hey, Jacob. We are so good. What you doing this morning?
What am I doing this morning? Well, I just got up so I could, I just get up early, Holly, just so I could talk to you, Holly, because, you know, Holly, I didn't want to miss talking to you and Miguel this morning. I would never miss this.
Hey, Jacob, what are your plans for Christmas?
As far as right now goes, I am going to my Aunt Di is coming down to see me, and guess what she's bringing me, Holly?
Oh, what's that?
She's bringing me her famous Christmas cookies.
Oh, there is nothing like some homemade Christmas cookies. So you're looking forward to that.
Holly, listen. Now, I do remember you saying in your radio blogs one time that some people were going to the moon in 2024 or something like that. I do remember that or something like that.
You know, you have a better memory than I do, Jacob. I don't remember, but it's if you say I said it, I probably said it.
Holly, guess what, Holly? Could you explain me what you meant by saying that?
No, honestly, Jacob, I can't. I have no. I think maybe I said it as a joke. Even I don't ever actually remember what I meant. I have no idea.
Oh man! Well, Holly, guess what? You just ended my year just the right way, Holly. Because see, Holly, with the year I had with this whole pandemic thing going on with you and Miguel and stuff like that. You know, you and Miguel just made my year, so.
Oh, thank you, Jacob. I'm glad.
You made our year, Jacob.
For sure. Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Aw.
Happy birthday, dear Holly. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much, Jacob.
Jacob, tell everybody what podcast they're listening to.
They are listening to the Sweet Angel Tree podcast with Holly O'Connor featuring the Alderman Miguel Fuller on Hot 101.5 Tampa Bay's new hit music.
Wow, yes!
Unscripted. Unshackled. Uncouth.
What you're about to hear is for mature ears only.
It's Miguel Fuller.
I would show anything. I'd show my hee-hee and my hoo-hoo and my ha-ha.
Holly O'Connor.
Hey, Daddy, you want to take this to the bedroom?
And Scotty the Body.
I am officially not only the grill daddy, but I'm a hot grill daddy.
Oh, wow.
It's the Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
Only from Hot 101.5, Tampa Bay's new hit music.
Hello, senioritis is here. I'm ready for vacation time.
Who ain't?
Girl, I'm just ready. We have a really cool, first off, thank you so much to Jacob two times for helping us start the podcast.
Absolutely.
Thank you for doing that on Wednesday podcast. By the way, if you're new to the Platypus Posse, the Miguel
pee-pee.
And Holly fam, the pay-pay. We do podcasts Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Or if something happens like I was so distracted because of my knee on Monday. We had to do it.
The intense pain you were in?
Yes. I just was like, I got through the show, and that's all I could do.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for listening. But you can always leave a review on Apple Podcasts, or you can listen on Spotify or the Hot 101.5 app. We got a really cool guest coming on here in just a little bit.
Who is it?
That has given a TED Talk. His name is Andy. And I think he's the marketing person for this company. But they created this really cool way to release some negative energy from just everything we've dealt with in 2020.
Like individuals?
Yes. And it's gone viral.
Oh.
And it's really cool. And he's given a TED Talk before. So we're going to chat with him because a Miguel and Holly fan member said, hey, I think this would be a cool guest for the podcast. So we're going to talk to him in just a second. But we do have the Christmas holiday coming up.
Yes, we do. And we will not be doing podcasts during those 2 weeks.
No, we will be out, but we'll be back next year. Are y'all ready for Christmas?
Actually, yeah. Mostly. Like, I think I'm all set for Maya. Mm-hmm. I definitely know I'm all set for my mom, which is a first. I didn't actually get anything for my person until yesterday.
Oh.
And then I had like a meltdown. I'm like, I don't know! So then he just like sent me some stuff. I'm like, just come on. I need a little help.
Help me.
So then I placed an order at Target, and I'm going to pick it up today.
Oh, nice.
And I think that's going to be about it. But, like, other than that, what I'm not so much, I'm ready, but I'm not prepared fully for then 2 full weeks of no work or school with my 7-year-old.
Yeah.
Wow. So is that even a vacation for you?
Yes and no, because I get to sleep in.
Yeah.
So
there you go. That's
always
a win.
But
do you
get
to sleep in late with your daughter?
No.
Or does she come wake you up? And
well, I mean, she usually gets up between 6:45 and 7. So, I mean, it's sleeping in for us.
Right.
But I'm not like, it's not like I can lounge around in bed till like 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Now, is she at that age where she's allowed to like get her own breakfast or like cereal or anything like that? Or do you have to make it for her?
I have to make it for her. But this is what I've started doing. So, like she gets up, let's say she gets up at 6:45. I will, and she tells me she's hungry. If she's not hungry at that moment, I will just park her on the couch and let her watch her YouTube families for an hour. And then it buys me till about 8 a.m. And then usually at that point, she's like, Mom, I'm hungry. And I'm like, yeah, I figured you were. Or if it's like 7-ish when she gets up, I'll like shuffle myself out of bed. Because keep in mind, I'll usually have some drinks or whatever if I don't have work the next morning.
Right.
So it's not like I'm ready to do a jolly jump up at 6:45 or 7.
A jolly jump up.
Right.
I want to see Holly do that.
That was what my dad called it, I guess, when they were in the army or whatever.
A jolly jump up.
It wasn't that jolly, and it was like 3 in the morning, but whatever. So what I'll do is I'll shuffle to the kitchen and I'll throw some frozen mini pancakes on the plate or pop in a couple of frozen waffles, and then I'll set her up with that and a little glass of water, and then I will lay my ass back in bed for another hour while she eats, watches TV. But it's better.
Right.
It's not like I have to supervise her. Like, she can just sit and watch TV, and that's really what she wants to do.
I remember when my mom allowed me to, like, make my own bowl of cereal. That was like I had graduated, and I didn't have to ask. She was like, if you're hungry, just go ahead and make it. And I was like, ooh. And I was like, but can I put my own sugar in the Cheerios if I want to? And she was like, you still need to ask permission for that because you're wild ass. All right, our guest is on the phone. The Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast. Is this Andy?
This is Andy.
Andy! Hey! Welcome to the podcast. Welcome, welcome. So I was just talking you up to, we have my co-host Holly, our producer Scott here. I'm Miguel. And before we get to like what has made you go viral and how you're helping us as a society deal with the dumpster fire, hint, 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 that is 2020. Who are you, Andy? And what is your path that led you to go viral?
Well, that's like, I don't know, all of my life I've been collecting junk and building things, and it's just been, I live in Detroit, so, you know, we have a lot of industrial stuff to choose from. And then last year I got the job as head of marketing at an email service, hey.com. So, you know, we assembled a whole bunch of junk to make this big thing that the internet's talking about.
So what is it that you all are doing that's helping people relieve some stress from 2020?
So we built a dumpster fire. Everyone's been talking about 2020 as this dumpster fire of a year. So we made this dumpster fire that you can email. It'll print out your email and drop it in the fire on live camera that you get to see. So you get to toss in whatever you want. You know, things you've lost, how you're feeling, you know, photos of certain politicians that you don't like. All go into the fire.
Wow, that is so cool. Oh, my God. It's like a live stream of an actual dumpster fire. I am in love with this idea. I actually ordered myself a Christmas ornament for the tree that has a dumpster fire picture on it. So, like, I'm so in line with this. And so you're saying anything that's been causing you stress, we just email it to you, to your service, and then you throw it in the dumpster fire.
It literally goes into a fire.
Yeah.
Now,
totally automated, yeah.
Have you seen, like, some of the emails and exactly, like, what people have been writing on it?
Oh, yeah. I've personally, because we approve everyone to make sure there's no, like, you know, harassment or hate speech or anything bogus.
Right.
I've seen thousands. But we've had, you know, lots of Trump photos, lots of Biden photos. We've had people who've lost jobs. We've had people who've lost family members. You know, it gets really heavy sometimes. things that people are letting go. And, you know, we don't show anyone's name on the camera. And so we've had some stuff. Someone yesterday sent in just the words, "my marriage."
Wow. That's a great spin on Tampa Bay secrets right there.
True that.
Wow. So what has been the most emotional one that you've seen?
The one really hit me really hard. It said, this is the year my wife and I found out what it's like to have a miscarriage. Mm. And you're just like, holy crap. We thought people would be sending in memes and like jokes and stuff. And, you know, someone sent that in and it just like, it hits you right in the gut.
Yeah.
Wow. And then what's been sort of the most lighthearted one
and
that
funny
you've seen?
Or funny. Crazy.
Oh, the memes have been off the chain. I mean, like, We have seen pretty much every meme of the last 10 years come through this thing, you know, because you can send a picture too. So like once the internet found out about it, it went crazy. Plus we went viral in like Brazil, so there's a lot of Portuguese coming through, which we have to translate.
Makes sense.
But that's been pretty wild. Yeah.
Now, how do you come up with something like that? Is like literally you all just sitting around, which I'm imagining it's very, you know, like Google-esque where it's, you know, like nobody has a cubicle and actually you're probably working from home now, I'm imagining, right?
We've actually all been remote since day one. The you know, founder of the company wrote the book called Remote. So when COVID hit, we were all ready because we were already spread around the globe. So I'm the only one here in Detroit who worked on this. Everyone else is in, you know, Chicago and California and all over the place.
Oh, wow.
So what are y'all just sitting around one day just brainstorming? Someone's like, God, this year is such a dumpster fire. And someone's like, ha-ha!
Literally!
I got an idea!
I put a bunch of ideas together. I had, like, six ideas. And this one was my, like, that's never going to happen idea. And I sent them all to the CEO. And he was like, that's the one. He's like, that's the idea, the dumpster fire.
That's actually a cool, something to keep in mind, keep in the back of your mind for when you get ideas in life, you listening, and you're like, that is stupid. No one's going to do that one. Like, sometimes it's the stupid one that makes it.
Yeah.
That is actually incredible. And don't let your own brain tell you no.
Right.
So just as a quick lesson, I think that's a good aside.
Absolutely. Now, Andy,
you
have given a TED Talk before called Call the World's Bluff. What was that about?
Oh, you Googled me.
Yeah, a little research.
The Call the World's Bluff is just about like thinking something is impossible and going at it anyway. You know, I started my small businesses with very, very little money. You know, money I'd made as a busboy. And, you know, each time I came to something that was like, is this possible? Can I pull this off? You know, can I start a bus company? Like that's what I've been doing the last 10 years. I didn't see any reason not to, aside from doubt. Doubt was the only thing that was saying, don't do it. There was no evidence that I couldn't do it. And I've had this experience 3 or 4 times in my life. And I'm finding that, largely, it's yourself telling you that you can't do a thing. You know, if it all plays out on paper, if it all looks like feasible, you know, you should probably give it a shot if you're feeling it.
Okay. Mm.
That's so interesting. We talk a lot on our show about sort of taking leaps of faith and how to really find your true meaning and your true passion. Your purpose. Like how, because you were a college dropout who did this, like what inspired you to make that leap and go for it?
Well, on one hand, it's because I'm unemployable, really. I mean, Basecamp in Hay, where I work now, is a kind of a weird outfit where I get to do things like build a giant dumpster fire. So it's not your normal job, right? I don't think there's a lot of dumpster fire builders out there.
Right.
There should be.
You know, when I started my own company, it's because all the jobs out there that I had available to me, you know, as an engineering student, just looked really like a bummer, you know, sitting in a cubicle under a fluorescent light, you know, reading instructional manuals.
Oh.
Whereas entrepreneurship, like going out and start my own thing, that was endless. You know, it had unlimited upside and unlimited downside. You know, it's you with the marketplace versus some middle manager, you know? And so that really like propelled me to do that. And the moment that really changed my life was I signed up for a contest and I won 6 months with this car. I got a Ford Fiesta in 2009, with unlimited gas.
Oh.
And it was sitting there in the parking lot while I was going to engineering school.
Oh,
and I thought, I can keep going to engineering school and sit here and this car just sits in the parking lot, or I can travel the country. And so I quit my part-time job. I dropped out of school and I put, you know, 50,000 miles in that car in six months. Saw every corner of the country, you know, on Ford's dollar. And that really was the thing that kicked me out of the nest.
Wow.
That's really cool.
I really find it so fascinating, people who literally just buck everything that we were told that we were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to college, get a job, meet someone.
There is an order to
this. Yeah. That's how you do it. Like, how do you tell someone that is sort of stuck in that, no matter what part of the quote-unquote normal life cycle of life, and they're like, I have a dream of whatever that is. How do you tell people to just do it? Because clearly back then, you didn't have a lot to lose because you were in college and you were like, you know what, this isn't for me. I want to do something else. But what about someone who has a little bit more on the table that they could lose?
I mean, life is real short, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's measured in just a handful of years. It's no matter what stage you're at, you don't have you could be a teenager. You don't have a ton of it left. You don't have hundreds of years to figure this stuff out. And so I also think people romanticize like a big vision. You know, they want to be a famous something. When really you could probably realize most of whatever your dream is within the confines of what you have. I mean, opportunity is not evenly distributed. Like I don't want to say that everyone else has the same opportunities I did. You know, I grew up middle class, you know, to a good family that had, you know, means to support me if I failed. A lot of people don't have that opportunity. But if you want to be a photographer, you know, your cell phone can handle that. If you want to be a writer, you can write these things out on the cheapest computer. You know, there's always a path to doing the thing you want to do. And simply calling yourself, whatever it is, a writer, an artist, a creator, a builder, you've earned that title. You know, the day you call yourself that is the day you started on your path. It's not, you know, don't rely on some outside validation to tell you that you're, you know, worth it. You know, you self-identify, then you are that.
Yeah, that's what I actually got something similar from Glennon Doyle, who is an author, and she said something really similar to what you just said recently. I just happened to see it on Instagram because she was like, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, how do I know if I'm a writer? She's like, just the fact that you're asking yourself that means you are. Mm. Because people who aren't writers at all would never ask themselves if they might be a writer. Like,
right.
if that's just not something that your heart craves, why would you be asking yourself that? That'd be like me being like, I wonder if I'm a brain surgeon. Bitch, I don't want to be a brain surgeon. It has no part in my calling, my soul. It's not there.
Right.
If you're even wondering if you are something, that's your inner voice telling you, yes, you are. You just need to own it. So that's awesome. That's like synchronicity that you also happen to mention that exact same style of self-validation. And I think that it's so important for people to understand that. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah, that clarity of being able to choose your mission, to choose your thing, and you can choose a couple. You know, you want to have a podcast. I mean, you can have one today. You know, now if you want to have a famous podcast, that has a lot of work behind it. You have to you have to do the whole thing, and that might take time. But that, you know, what's famous mean? Is it a lot of downloads? Is it well respected? You know, does it mean having advertisers? I think a lot of people function under values that they're not identifying. They're thinking, I want to be a podcaster, when really they're saying, I want to be a rich podcaster. There's a big gulf between podcast day number one and you know, being well paid for it. But if you inspect those values, I think you'll find if you tune those a little bit, you can get where you're going. You know, you just have to think clearly about where it is you want to go. Now, I'm saying all this with hindsight. You know, when I bought my first school bus to start my bus company, I had none of these plans or clarity of mission or any of that. I just thought, I just kind of want to own a school bus. You know, I kind of want to start a business and help out my city. You know, I want to get kids where they got to go. You know, I didn't, it wasn't some perfectly thought out thing. There wasn't a lot of mental hygiene.
So Andy, what is your mission statement now? Cause you are the head of marketing for Basecamp. Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah,
that's
Basecamp's
what
the company and Hayes the product. Yeah.
Okay. So you're working for this company now. You've started some companies before you got there. What is your mission statement now?
I don't have a written mission statement. Every time I've sat down to do that, I feel stuck by it. You know, you don't want to be penned in by this thing. It's really difficult to capture all that in one. But every day I get up and the questions I'm answering is, how do I make stuff and how do I help people? You know, how do I be useful in the world that I'm in and make stuff along the way? You know, I don't want to just be a money mover. I don't want to work in the theoretical. You know, I like to work with my hands. And how do I help people? You know, I still run my small company, the Detroit Bus Company, and every day we're helping out folks in the city of Detroit who can't get where they're going, who don't have opportunities. This is day in and day out, you know, and I stopped looking for the big question, the big formula that I'm trying to crack. And I realized that if I can just do this for long enough, you know, 50 years, that's enough. That's good.
Love that. Well, Andy, thank you so much for walking us through this amazing dumpster fire of a year that we have had. How can people send emails to be able to include whatever it is they want to include in the dumpster fire?
All the details are at dumpsterfire.email. That's actually a website that you can go to. And it's got the stream and it's got the address. I'm watching it out the window right now. It's running right this minute.
So
wow. You can email it and into the fire goes.
Awesome.
I love that. We're going to have to steal that idea for something here.
Yes.
When we can actually have events again.
Yeah.
We'll have to do something like that.
Agreed.
Well, Andy, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. See ya.
Bye-bye. Bye. I'm always so amazed at people like him that are entrepreneurs, because clearly this is a guy that is like an outside the box thinker.
Yeah.
And that is motivated. And they're like those stories of, well, I had $1,000 and I bought a school bus.
Yeah.
And now I'm a billionaire and I own 20 million companies. And I'm like, how do you even like get to that? Like, I just don't think that that's ever going to be something that I'm capable of, because that's just not like my wheelhouse. I'm not an entrepreneur. Like, but I'm not the person that's going to think of a new idea.
But again, you're still putting yourself in the box of like, you have to think of an idea.
Right, right.
Like, but I and like he said, opportunity is not equal. So it's different for everybody. But I think the one thing that all of those types of people have in common is belief in self.
Mm-hmm.
And that supersedes anything.
Right.
And anything. I mean, ideas or means or time or connections. I think belief in self is the first and foremost thing that you need to get stuff done.
That's interesting, because I feel like that is a part of the whole, you know, like growing up privileged, because you may have been told, oh, you can do anything you want to be. Mm-hmm. You can achieve anything you want to achieve. And then some people never grow up in that sort of environment. And so they're like, I had a friend at my 2-year school who, it was the saddest thing in the world. This guy was so smart, so funny, so freaking creative. And I was always like, you are smarter and funnier than I am. I mean, part of my humor now comes from him, mm-hmm. because he was so funny. But he came from the small town in South Georgia, and his parents were both farmers,
mm-hmm.
and they would daily question him why he was even going to college.
Mm.
They were like, why are you going?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, this farm is yours. Like, and he was like, I don't want to be a farmer.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to, like, build a set for Broadway. And they were like, what's that gay-ass shit?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. Well, a lot of it, and let's talk privilege for a second, because when you say privilege, I have a feeling you mean money. But I also think it includes emotional support.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think privilege comes in several different ways, not
right.
just money.
Right.
And he was a white guy who his family, you know, did okay.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to buy him a car. So like, they weren't poor. He didn't want, but that emotional
That's
privilege
what I'm saying.
Where he just didn't have, where like, there was one time I was the editor of the newspaper, and he was like my deputy chief editor in chief. And we were working late on the layout, And his mom came up to the campus and was like, why are you here? Your classes are over. And he was like, well, I'm working on the school newspaper. And she was like, no, you're not. You're coming home with me.
That's it's a form of abuse.
It is. And it was really sad. And you know where he is? He's still there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he should have been in New York and L.A. designing sets and costumes for movies and TV shows.
That's why I think
so sad.
A lot of that is emotional support from your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Or whoever raises you, or whoever your influences are. I think about you a lot of the time, Miguel, because you obviously were not, you didn't grow up in a rich house.
Right.
As a matter of fact, you were poor.
Yeah.
And you had the unfortunate experience of being surrounded by a lot of rich kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that has created a lot of, you know, things that you deal with in your brain. However, you are like a self-made radio personality, right? So
you did
all the hustle, and nobody explained to you how to go to college,
right,
or that you should, or what. Like, so for people that that I've seen in life over the years who are just like, well, it was such a rough start. I'm always like, well, Miguel did it. I'm not saying that, you know, that that's the blanket statement for, you know, if he did it, anybody can.
Right.
But I do think it's interesting where that privilege comes from, because you sort of were able to push through everything that was against you doing this.
Right.
And some people who might have come up with money or more opportunities that you did or, I don't know, whatever the case may be unhappy in a job and just miserable with their life because they didn't have self-belief that they could do it. Like, your self-belief may be limiting in some ways,
right,
but I feel like your self-belief in you as a radio host has never wavered, and that's why you're here.
Right. Now, that has been, like, my one constant and my one guiding force is I'm going to do this. I mean, like, I remember when I had no clue, I was like, I know I want to do what the people I listen to on the radio in Atlanta do. I have zero clue, don't know how I'm going to make it happen, but I'm going to keep moving full speed ahead at it. And that's why sometimes I get mad for people who sometimes just have it handed to them. Like, they worked hard, but it, you know, in a sense, was just handed to them.
Well, I mean, like, and I do want to take a step back, because what's funny about that whole conversation about you, Miguel, is just a prime example of, like, how you just talked about Andy, who we just talked to.
Yeah.
And how, you know, you just said, I just don't understand how someone gets that creative mindset and makes it just, like, it's, that's where I think we fall in the hole of, like, we're comparing our success to somebody else's. Like, you've done that.
Yeah.
Just it looks different.
Like, hello?
Like, you did exactly those things.
And you're saying, I don't know how he does this. You fucking did it.
You did it.
Like,
it's just, you're not making a dumpster fire. You're living your dream as being a radio personality. Like, that's the difference.
I make a dumpster fire every morning from 6 to 10 on Hot
115. And it's a delight.
It goes back to those things where it's like, you believed in that because that was your craft. And so you did whatever it had to be done to get there.
Right.
Just as in his case or anybody else's case, when you have an idea, it's like, you truly believe in your skill and you take that leap, like, you'll go as many bounds as you need to make this job happen.
As long as you want it,
exactly,
and you know that you're going to do what it takes to get it done, that's what's beautiful about, like, the human spirit, is that you're going to do it.
Right.
But there's so much self-doubt and limiting beliefs that sometimes aren't your fault, that, like, your friend with the farm family, that's not, that those are outside influences that have constrained him. And he had no one probably in a mentorship role that could pull him out of that. So he succumbed to it.
Right.
But it's like, everyone's capable of doing it. How badly do you want it?
That really reminds me of the conversation I had with, I'm about to name drop here.
Oh.
Bobby Bones.
Oh, Bobby Bones.
Bobby
you had a conversation with Bobby Bones.
Bobby Bones.
Of course, you listening probably know who Bobby Bones is. Yeah, syndicated radio show on country stations across America. Was on Dancing with the Stars.
He won.
Bitch,
on American
won.
Idol.
On American Idol. Like, it's
like
so crazy.
An old reality show now.
Two books. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So we met him or talked to him years and years ago when he was still in Austin doing his Top 40 show, and we were in Panama City. And him and I were both competing.
Yes.
Back in the day to be on Regis and Kelly.
Yeah, because Regis was going on vacation and they were soliciting radio people to replace Regis for a week.
Exactly. So I auditioned knowing, because there was like listener votes that went in, knowing full well that in Panama City, there was like just literally by population size, like there was no way I was ever going to get it.
No.
But we tried real hard. We submitted videos, had a campaign. And then I obviously didn't even make, I think I made it towards like past like the first round. I made like my name was on their website and like that was about it.
That's cool.
Well, I made like this sort of concession video where I went over some of the radio people's names.
That did win.
That did win. And I was like, who the f- is a Bobby Bone?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? And I didn't know who he was
the
time. Oh, I was. I was always and forever.
Yeah.
And so then I remember he tweeted me years ago and was like, oh, my God, that was so funny. It's so great to meet you. Hopefully we can meet one day. And then we've always kept in contact on Twitter. And then I met him at a morning show boot camp in person a few years ago. Well, I reached out to him on Instagram a few months ago because I'm sort of like on the fence about going through this process of like writing a book. And I want to do more TV stuff, but I'm sort of like where I was back in high school with radio, where I'm like, I don't know how to do it. Like, I don't know. Like, if someone comes to me and says, hey, how do I be a morning show host? I can be like, here are like several different steps to do it. And I've reached out to a couple of TV people, but they're like, what you want to do isn't what I do. So I'm not exactly sure.
There's some differences.
And so Bobby sort of does what I want to do, where it's a hodgepodge of different stuff. And I'm like, how do you do it? So I reached out to him on Instagram and was like, hey, can we chat sometime? And of course, because he's got like 3 million people. And I was like, he's never going to see it. And I was like, maybe I'll tweet him. And then like 2 weeks later, he was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I just saw this. Cool. Let's chat. And I was like, all right, well, here's my number. And then the next day, I'm sitting at home. Bobby Bones pops up on my phone.
That's so cool.
And you're like, what? I'm not ready.
You're like, what do I do with this? Ah, the phone, the phone. It's like suddenly the phone that you utilize for 23 hours of the day has now become like some crazy beacon that you're speaking to Batman or something.
Right.
You're like, it's like hot. What do I do?
Like, we talked to Shawn Mendes, Selena Gomez, Justin Bieber, and it's like, oh, hey, girl, what's up? Bobby Bones calls my phone, and I'm like, woo!
Well, that was your direct line, and it was not for like an artist interview or anything cool. It was just because he wanted to call you.
Exactly. So he gave me some really great advice on, you know, doing the book and doing TV stuff. And that's basically what he was saying, is that you just got to go for it. He was like, you're in the position you're in now. I'm pretty sure no one ever just gave you mornings. He's like, from everything I've seen from you and your story, like, someone wasn't just like, hey, here's a morning show.
Would you like to host mornings? No.
It sounds like you want to.
No.
Like, you had to work for it. So he was like, just throw a bunch of stuff at it. Keep emailing, asking, and, you know, use your own money to do how you did it just with those people.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a very valid question. And the thing that I have come to is that when you are young and from a background like I am, where you don't have anything and your whole mindset is like, I will literally do anything that it takes to make it happen, which is why, you know, I moved to Panama City for a part-time job with no vacation, no relocation money, no anything. I was just like, this is the first step I need to make. But then as you get older and you get more comfortable, I just feel like you just feel tired and you feel like, well, I'll get to it.
Yeah.
My paycheck is still coming in from Hot 101.5. Why do I need to diversify or do anything else? But those moments where I have done stuff outside of the show, when it comes to TV or anything or speaking or hosting stuff, it's like I come alive and it's so much fun because it's a challenge. Whereas like what we do, like it's not easy, but I know it now.
Like, you know how to do it now.
Right. Like, I'm still learning, and, you know, we consult with consultants, and we're always getting better. But it's like, this is what I do. But then there's just sense of like just being tired sometimes as you get older.
Yeah.
And like,
it's just FYI, it's just gonna get worse.
Right. True. True.
It's not
so
gonna
true.
Get better.
Right.
Like, I just literally talked to my Uncle Joe on the phone yesterday, and he was just checking on my mom about something, and then I was like, "How are you doing? Are you okay?" He's like, "Well, just tell him I'm tired." How old is he? He's 68. And he's like, "I had to cut back working out from 7 days a week till 5. I'm like, "I'm sorry.
My gosh.
You working out 7 days a damn week?"
I'm talking about Uncle Joe.
Wow.
Well, he had to cut it back to 5 because his joints were a little achy.
Well.
And so he was like, "So just, if you want to do stuff, do it now."
Yeah.
Because I'm tired a lot more. Not that I want to be, but sometimes I take naps now. What? I'm like, "Bitch, was working out 7 days a week." Okay. He was like the black sheep in the family, a.k.a. the woke one. Now that I'm sort of the woke one, I can like recognize it.
Right.
So I feel like we're sort of kindred spirits, and I'm like, okay, I understand that.
Be like, "I see you." Mm. So that's sort of where I am, where I feel like I want to take the next 2 weeks of Christmas, because I feel like this last 3 months of the year have sort of just been a gut punch for me, like having COVID.
Yeah.
And then now my knee, and I'm just like, okay, I'm just trying to like get into 2021. But I do feel literally limping into the new year. But I really want to like refocus and get that sort of excitement, determination, and chutzpah that got me to this point in my career to do it for other things, because this won't always last.
Right.
Like,
right.
What we do has a finite amount of time.
That's not always in the back of my mind.
Absolutely. Because, like, if you work at a hospital or at a bank, like, unless you get bought out or it closes down, more than likely, that's a career that you can keep going at.
Mm-hmm.
But with this is art. And just like if you work on a TV show, there is a finite amount of time where one day it could be a year, it could be 2 years, it could be 5 years. That all of a sudden there are new options for people to listen to, or things change in the way that you listen. And all of a sudden we don't have that cachet that we have now. And all of a sudden our company's like, "We want to go in a different direction." Mm. And then you're done.
Yeah.
And I've seen a few radio people recently, because our industry has gone through so much change, where they've been like, "Oh my gosh, I'm 40, I'm 45. I don't have a savings. I don't know what I'm going to do next." And I'm like, "Oh, that just freaks me out so much. It gives me panic." And so that's why I'm like, all right, I need to like get that spark that I had before in some of these other projects, mm-hmm. just to, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's always safe to just have some other options.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go.
Agreed.
Scott?
Thoughts? No, I mean, I love it. I mean, I'm going through I'll call it a crisis, just on what I want to do, and realizing, like we just talked about with Andy, and just,
you're having a quarter life crisis,
a quarter life, a little bit, and just realizing just how quick things go,
mm-hmm.
and how just we, again, I say it probably every podcast, just how precious life is, and we go about it as if we get another chance at the end of it. And so I kind of go about every day of like, okay, like, am I doing what brings me pure joy? And if it's not, let me start reevaluating, like, what are my options? Like, what can I do in these instances? And just making sure that it's, like, again, like, my biggest fear is, like, one day I'm going to be 80 years old. I'm going to be like, all right, all I have left is my thoughts. And so I'm going to have this list of things. And hopefully I did as much as I could with the time that I had. And so right now I'm just like, okay, like, there's nothing really holding me back from doing anything I want right now. If I want to do it, I could just do it. Is this the time? So I don't know. I don't know what the next year will look like, and I don't know what's going to come my way, but it is a constant thought. And I love these conversations, because I just hope that other people, if given the chance, do gamble on themselves a little bit and allow themselves to, you know, find something that brings them joy. And again, like, I'll say it in my speeches and my things that I put out there. It's like, I don't necessarily mean like dropping your job right now and like going after something else. Like, I get it. Like, if you have to pay bills and you got to pay the rent, like, that's fine. But if that means, you know, I got to see before my mom passed, I was like, I would hype on her all the time. Just do something that brings you joy. Because for so long, I watched her just go to a job that she just didn't enjoy. And she would come home stressed, and that would just lead into other things. And then finally, by the last couple months, she was doing things that were just so joyful. I remember calling her. She's like, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to Disney with my friend." I was like,
"Yeah,
Mom, like, I'm off the phone. Go do your thing at Disney. That's amazing." Or she would go to like an art class with a friend. She was just doing these little things in her day. Even though she didn't drop her job, she was doing these little things because it just made her life that much better. And it's those things and like I carry that. Like, even though I'm, you know, 24 and I don't have that much life experience, I take that as, like, watching her and always remembering the lessons, like, if there's something in life that you want to do, like, do it. Because this, like, literally the next day isn't guaranteed. So might as well go after it now and see what happens. And that's where I'm just, again, it's not even like I live in fear, but I live in just this anxious of, all right, let me go ahead and live as much as I can right now. Because, again, tomorrow isn't guaranteed. Am I doing everything I can right now? And sometimes that doesn't mean just going home and taking a nap, because that's what I need right now.
Right.
Is that what you need, like, right now?
Well, right now. Well, literally right now, yeah.
Right now you need that?
Yeah. Right now. Yep. But also, like, I don't know. Like, when Andy talked about, like, traveling the country, like, I have this craving of, like, just seeing the world. And then I look at it and I'm like, when the hell would I be able to do it? And the only time you're able to do it is when you just decide, like, well, F it. I'm just going to do it. Because I don't. Your job's not going to be like, hey, yeah, here's, you know, 3 months to go travel the country. Maybe they are. I don't know how that looks. But I also don't want to be, again, 80 years old and be like, man, I really had that dream when I was 24 to see the country or see other places in the world. Why did I do that? Those thoughts go through my head daily.
Do you want to do that now?
I do want to do. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess put it out in the universe. Yeah, I do want to do that. Only, you know, and again, I look at everything in, like, these time periods where it's like, okay, I'm 24. I'm, you know, it's not like I'm in this. Well, okay, well, honestly, I'm not in a full-time position. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, anything's holding me back that place. So I'm not making boatloads of money yet. And then also, I'm single. So it's not like I have to, you know, go through a whole other route of communicating with a significant other and figuring out if that's going to be okay.
Yep.
And then also, like, my family's all over the place right now. So right now it's like, okay, the next chapter of my life, probably in the next, like, 6 years I look at, just in my own time frame, it's like I'll probably find someone, probably start a very serious relationship, you know, maybe marriage, and then kids, because I want kids. And then I know it's like around then, like, okay, it's going to be even the stakes of doing that are right. Very hard.
Once other people enter your picture, options tend to get a little smaller.
Right.
Yeah.
I never felt so much freedom as when I was in college and then directly out of college, especially once my college boyfriend and I were no longer together, kind of like where you are now. That period of working my first job after college was the ultimate freedom that I ever felt in my life. Mm. And I was glad that I did take a couple of trips actually in that period, because and I forgot in that period too is like, I want to work somewhere where there's a beach. I was always so attracted to, like, the ocean and beaches. FYI, don't ever go to the beach right now.
I'm about to say, Holly, when was the last time you took a contemplative drive to watch the sunset at the beach?
Sand in your ass and stuff.
Nothing better.
But like, I had those exact same big dreams, and then it took the firing of my boss at the time and, like, the rug to be pulled out from under me, which, again, that's a big change. And you're in the middle of, like, a period of life where you're going through some big changes right now, that it spurs you on to do the scary shit that you don't know when or how or if. And so when I applied for jobs all over, I was like, I'm 38. Looking back now on 25-year-old me, when I decided to leave literally everything I knew, everyone I knew, and move to Florida on a whim almost for a new job that I didn't know how to do with people I didn't know how to do it with, I sometimes look back at that person and I'm like, God, look how brave you were.
Mm.
And I was lucky in that time because I had no anchor, no roots in order to do it. Like, there are some downsides to that, obviously, but the upside is that you got some freedom to play with and some time to play with.
Yeah,
this is the time when you do it.
Yeah, I think that's the hard thing, is because I know right now is the time, and it's going about it. And again, like, I'm a gambler on myself, and that's why I'm here right now. But now it's like figuring out that next thing. And just like you just talked about, Miguel, it's like, what, those things that bring you excitement. And that's why, you know, 2021, I want to make sure, like, I am putting myself out there in a way to get hired to speak, putting out my own projects, because that gives me joy. But it's also, you know, it's a scary process that, you know, unless you're in the middle of it, you don't really see it. But it is terrifying. And I don't know what this next year will bring. Mm-hmm. But I do want to make sure that it's like I have these visions. And I just want to make sure they happen, or else I just know in my soul I'm going to look back one day and be like, You had a chance. Mm. What are you doing? Why'd you do that for? And I just don't want that. I don't want that.
I don't think you'll have it. You'll do it because
we'll see.
You want to. I mean, you want to travel and you want to do stuff.
Yeah. It's just the balance of going through, like, you know, what's going now on, you know, my job right now. Like, this is, there's so many new things that are happening and flowing around that I'm like, okay, like, this is those roads in my life that I'm like, okay, left or right or middle. So it's figuring that out right now. It's pretty intimidating.
So what would you do if our job came and said, hey, we have a full-time job for you, but then you found out that a relative of yours from way back in the day that you met once when you were younger passed away, and they're going to give you that you are inheriting $20,000, and so that's the seed money where you can just go travel the world.
You know, it's such a weird question you asked that, Miguel, because it's kind of like my life right now.
Yeah, some seed money coming in.
I'm about to say
no,
you
not
got some
seed money, but it's more so just like I do have, you know, my mom definitely had like investments that are now in my name, and I did get the call that was like, again, it's not like I'm just balling, but I, you know, there was something that was passed down from my great grandparents to her, and now it's on me. And I do have that question right now. It's like, okay, like if the company, because I am working on some things to hopefully get full time.
Yeah.
But also I have this craving that I'm like, I really want to just, honestly, I guess in like, don't take me so literal here, just for the analogy, like drop everything and just go and just see what happens. Only because it's like, okay, like I believe in myself enough where if like, if the boss literally, if Will walked in this room right now and was like, all right, Scott, you're done. Like, it would suck. I'd miss y'all, but I would be like, okay, like, I'm gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Like, I believe in myself where it's like, I will find something else to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And I stay true to that. But that is the question because, you know, there are projects that are considerably full time here at the radio station where I evaluate how I react when I heard that. You know, when the bosses are like, all right, here's a couple opportunities. And my initial reaction was excitement. And so I took that on as like, okay, that's a good sign. Like, it wasn't like a wince of like, ooh, but it was like, okay, I'm excited for it. But I also look at it in a way as like, I would probably take the full time, see how that rides, give it my all. But also in the back of my head, it's like the moment that I am not doing it because I love it, then that's going to be the time where it's like, okay, drop it and go. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that looks like. Again, like I am in the middle of that right now. Like literally like, okay, like I don't want to leave because I love what I do. But again, I also have the whole thought of I kind of just want to just drop everything and just travel for a second and just experience life. I don't want to just go about it as the sequence that we all are forced to of like school and then work and then marriage and then kids and then retirement. It's like, I don't know. I'm so far off that right now because, again, I don't want to bank on when I'm 60 and then, you know, sadly maybe not ever make it to 60.
That's so fascinating because that stresses me out. Like I would never, like, that's not something that I would ever be able to do or would desire to do.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy my, like, yearly cruises. Mm. And even then, like, Abe, who is like you, Scott, who if he had money, if we all of a sudden came into, you know, like a $2 million, he'd be like, you're quitting and we're traveling. And I'd be like, because he loves that. I don't. I'm like, I like my two times a year vacation. I like my routine. I like my normalcy.
I think that's what I don't like right now. Actually, like if I think about it, I just don't like the structure of like, okay, like what's next? Okay. I just kind of keep working. I just have this want to just experience stuff. Like I just want to experience as much as possible right now with, again, like it all goes back to the root of like, okay, one day I won't be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And like, just like you're talking about your Uncle Joe, like one day my joints are going to hurt.
Yeah.
You know? And so I always have this vision like, yeah, what if I want to climb a mountain? Well, let me wait till I'm retired.
Yeah.
I won't be able to climb the mountain. My body won't let me.
Yeah.
Right now I could actually have the ability to be like, okay, if I want to go to the Grand Canyon and walk around that whole dang thing, I
could
do
it. You
could
do it now.
Mm-hmm. Now would be the time.
Probably not when you're Uncle Joe's age.
Not when you're that age. So it's like those thoughts are like constantly flowing. And the whole, I was never somebody that was like, oh, well, let me go van around the country. But I don't know. As soon as everything happened in my family, and like I remember, I always had conversations with my mom of just like doing things like that. And my parents made a list of all the places they wanted to travel. And it's like it's immediately that just installed in me. It's like, you know, you want to experience everything, whether it's traveling or just doing random activities. Like I almost, I would love to have both work. You know, if I could still do radio, still work for this company. That would be fantastic while, you know, creating something new. But I also do have in the back of my head that it's so far out there. It's one of those ideas that, you know, you think it's a dumb one. You're going to throw at the wall and they're going to reject.
Right.
I have an idea for what we could do. It's just I don't want to be rejected immediately because then I'm going to be like, yeah, we don't know what it looks like. It'll be so new that who knows what it could bring. But at the same time, I want to make sure that it's like I'm not working here regretting it because I love it here. I love that. But I also have this little thing in the back of my head. It's like, right now is the time.
Right.
Right now is the time to just literally, like, you could just go do whatever you want. And even if you just lost it all, like, you'd be able to get back on your feet and figure it out. It's not like I have a lot to lose.
I guess what it comes down to is, like, what do you value? Because as I'm hearing you speak, and I'm like, God, that is not my dream. Like, yeah. I have never, like, I remember in college, I wanted to do a semester at sea, but... Or study abroad for a semester, but I was always like, one, I probably won't like the food, so I can't do it. Secondly, what if I lose my trajectory of at my two-year school being the editor and student government president, or at my four-year school being the station manager, the radio station? That'll like throw a wrench in that, and I won't be able to do it because to me, what I value is security and having money. I mean, to just because
no,
when I grew up that way.
I was going
to
say that is part of your DNA in how you, in what makes you safe. Remember I said like earlier in the show today, not on this podcast, but we were talking about how it's hard for you to change. You like routine and, you know, you're like, I don't know if it's my OCD. I'm like, no, that's not OCD. That's part of your PTSD from growing up in a constantly shuffling environment.
Right.
Where you maybe didn't feel safe sometimes, you weren't sure where your caregiver was at various points, where was your next meal coming from. So your PTSD is that you crave safety, security, money, which can provide that.
Right.
And that is comforting to you. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Everyone's different.
Yes.
I mean, I can tell you honestly, and like we're very transparent and honest on this show, but like, you know, a year ago when I decided to get my financial planner, I had no savings, none. But then after that conversation with Scott and Evander at the time and producer Ryan, where you all, like, I think Ryan had showed me, like, how much he had in his checking account. And he was part-time, but he's just an amazing saver.
Oh, yeah. He's
a hustler.
Yeah.
He flips stuff. Evander is a saver, doesn't spend on money. And then Scott, you just had money saved up. And I was like, Scott is part-time and has more in his savings than I do when I'm 34. I was like, I've got to change something. So now, if we lost our job today, I could now say that I could at least keep my household running with all my bills intact for at least 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going towards 6 months. That's how much we're saving.
Right.
I cannot tell you how emotional it has made me sometimes. Like, there are sometimes, and it's so stupid sounding, but I literally will log into my savings account and I'll see that number and I'll breathe a sigh of relief.
That's not stupid at all.
It's like literally the first time in my life that I've been able to breathe, where like if something happens or my mom has said, hey, I'm short on this, can I borrow some money? And I'm like, oh yeah, sure, no problem, I got it. Whereas before it's like, ooh, well, God. Or if something happens, I'm like, cool. When we were in Key West, because I've been saving and we had five people at our lunch. And I was like, I'll pay for everyone's lunch. I'm feeling generous. I've always wanted to do that, but never been able to do that. And so that's why when you say you just want to travel, I'm like, my goal is to continue to add more to what we do here to get more money, which to me equals more security.
But see, and that's so just the different personality types, different ways that you were brought up, different traumas that you may have.
Right.
Don't think for one second it's escaped me that, like, obviously Scott is in the middle of a trauma after the year that he's had and the loss of, you know, his mom, that's not part of the PTSD that you may be feeling right now, dealing with the trauma and thinking, I don't have that much time. I just saw my mom pass away at a young age. I need to get shit done now. And that's just what his life has dealt him.
Right.
Same thing with how your life has dealt you, the need for safety and security because you didn't have that growing up. Mm. Scott now doesn't have, you know, this luxury of thinking that, oh, well, when I'm 80, that can happen because you've seen literally it happen that it didn't go that way. Smack my microphone. So it's like your life experiences shape who you are and what you want. And I don't, it makes perfect sense to me that Abe would be the exact same way that Scott is, because he lost someone very close to him in the family and in at a young age as well.
Right.
So that sort of thing can change you for the way that you live your life. And I think it's so, and this is why psychology fascinates me, because I'm like, if this is not stupid, this is not weird, this is not like some crazy feeling that came out of nowhere. This has all been like part of your story that forms you to be the way that you are. That's why none of it is wrong. None of it is weird. None of it is crazy. And it didn't just get planted in by aliens. It's your story. And it's forcing you to do your next right step.
Wow. Listen to that. All from a dumpster fire.
You're right. This has been the longest podcast ever.
Literally, all that from a dumpster fire. Well, that was good. Well, Holly, I think for you, your next step is to start to figure out how...
what the next step is.
What your next step is. But something in the mental health world, whether it's being a psychologist or a therapist, or spotlighting that with what you've learned in the communications field.
Yeah.
But something in that realm, I think, is where your calling is. But obviously, only you can know that.
I know. And I, that's the thing, is it's very ambiguous, that whole field, because I also don't really know what, like, I don't have, like, what he was talking about, like, a focal point. Like, I don't have, I don't wake up with a goal yet where I'm like, boop, about 5 years, I'm going to be a therapist.
Right.
I don't know that I want to be a therapist. I don't know if that's the proper route. But this whole, my trauma over the past 2 years, which I fucking promise we're going to talk about at some point, I has caused me to dig deep into what makes people do what they do, why, and how, and all this stuff. So I haven't figured out where that, because I'm finally now just coming out of it. Like, life has kind of settled back down to normal, so I'm not like living it daily anymore,
right?
Which is so, like, I almost am emotional thinking about that, because at the end of last year, remember, it was our last podcast of the year, and I was like, the only thing I want for Christmas is my family together.
Yeah.
And I made that happen this year,
right?
For better or worse. Sometimes, like, this was a learning curve for me, where I'm like, I can do anything, and I made that happen. Did I maybe make it happen too soon? Possibly. But then we just handled it and it worked out. And now I'm sitting here a year later saying, I made my dream come true. Like, I made that goal happen. I did it. Even if it was scary and I hate confrontation and I didn't think that I had the power to do it, I did it. And I'm like really proud of myself for that. And like I was telling you in the office the other day, that this is the first holiday season where it feels more normal, like my normal family, my normal, like, things aren't a dumpster fire, actually,
for me
this holiday season, which is the first time in about 3 years that I can say that. So I feel good, and that 2021's my year, y'all, because I feel like what happened over the last 2 to 3 years, all those things have now pushed me into being like, I can speak on this. I can, and I don't know why I feel like it's a competition. It's not. I'd like to write a book.
Absolutely.
I think everyone should. Everyone got a story.
And I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't, because that's what Miguel wants to do.
No!
And then I'm like, and then don't worry, I had a conversation in my head like, bitch, what are you doing? Stop it.
What? No, both should have a damn book. I'm writing a book too.
Like, do it. I'd like to write a book and have it chronicle what did happen over the past 2 to 3 years and what led up to it, and like the explosion that literally no one heard. It was like the silent explosion that I've been constantly dealing with for 2 years. And so, sort of what happened and how I navigated it and what it meant for me and what it meant for other things in my life that were revolving around it. Because I always go back to that one meme I read where it says, never be ashamed of your story because it can inspire others. I'd like to help someone with my story. So maybe that's a goal for 2021 for me. And maybe through writing that out, it can help me get a better understanding of what, you know, 5 years from now does look like. So hopefully that.
This is a life to do it.
That's all I got.
We got more to come in 2021. But this isn't our last podcast.
No, it's not.
We still have one more where we are going to talk about the future and all that good stuff, which we'll be recording tomorrow. Okay. All right, we got to get out of here. Holly, what's all your social media?
Radio Holly on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram.
Scott?
At Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin.
And mine is Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller, on TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram. Make sure that if you are listening on Apple Podcasts to give us a rating and a review, because that really helps. You can also listen on Spotify and on the Hot 101.5 app. We'll see you tomorrow.
Catch up with the previous episodes of the Miguel and Holly Uncensored podcast from Hot 101.5.
Just hit up the Hot 101.5 app, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
Search Miguel and Holly Uncensored.